news, everyone.
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
It's all in.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is week 15. Hopefully you're with us and in the playoffs, or you're just joining us because you like us. Probably that guy. That guy. I pointed up because you're in Canada.
Oh, wait.
So for everybody that's not watching live, I pointed up.
Fair.
At Chris Meany and over at FTN, code all in, get you 20% off. And wait, there's not a 40% one, right? Not like Christmas? I'm not missing.
No. I think there's going to be some sort of, like, if you really want to save, there's going to be some sort of Ohtani code coming up for a baseball package that will help you in other packages if you want.
Is it 70 million off?
Yeah, you're just going to defer 68 of it.
Well done, Chris Meany. You defer 98% of your payment to FTN.
How is 680 of that $700 million deferred with no interest beyond me? Man, the Dodgers must have just been like, when Ohtani brought that up, like, oh my goodness, like, is he for real? Let's go.
Yeah, you really think he brought all of it up? Like, I feel like this was kind of like, do you want to defer some money because, I'm being back in Japan? I don't know. That's the thing. Nando, my boss over at The Athletic, by the way, check out The Athletic. The rankings are up. Top 25 animated show intros this week, because last week was the real show intros. And, of course, you know what number one is. I know, right? What a shock. But it's a fun list. I actually like this list more than the live TV show one. But real quick, we're going to talk football because this is baseball stuff. But Nando was like, how do the taxes work once it's deferred? Like, what if he's in California? What if he's in the States? What if he's in Japan? What if he's like,
I think he'll be in Japan and the taxes won't be as
crazy. So he's going to get double taxed, right?
Well, I know. I think it'll be better for him, though. Well, like, if he's outside of the state of California, like, it'll be. I'm pretty sure I saw that. I read that last night
because
in an article at The Athletic.
Whatever. Anyway,
it doesn't matter. Anyways,
there is no salary cap.
He's 50 years old.
Here's the thing. There's no salary cap in baseball, but there's still some attempt at a competitive balance. Hence, the Mets dropped 10 spots in the draft slot order after because they went over by so far. So not only did they get the tax penalty, they lost 10 draft spots. Same thing happens to the Dodgers. But the Dodgers are staying under one of the levels. They're basically skirting the competitive balance that they try to have anything of by doing. Like, you have to count some of that deferred money against the cap. I guess it's not really a cap, but you get my point. Like, I guess the tax penalties.
For sure. And now they're going to be able to go out and get, like, Corbin Burns or Josh Hader and another bat or something. Like, they're going to be able to get another three or four marquee free agents or via trade. Anyways,
look, I'm a Mets fan.
It's a loophole that worked out.
I'm a Mets fan, and I think that no salary cap is terrible. Like, to a degree, I think there should be, because you got the idiots, like the A's, who are now headed to Vegas, who just pocket all the money. So there needs to be a floor, too. But I think there's like a floor with a semi. I don't mind the tax ceilings, but I think there should be like a cap. Like, at
there
some point, you can't just be like, our payroll is $500 million. Oh, look. That's the last 10 teams combined. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Ohtani's getting paid more than 8 or 9 squads, but yeah, it is.
So we are talking week 15. After all that, after everybody's just already tuned out, our show listener viewership just went down the toilet. Reminder, this week starts the Saturday games. We actually have a triple header this week. More Saturday games next week and stuff, so make sure you don't miss your lineup for that. And do we even talk Thursday Night Football?
Not much to talk about.
So somebody asked, I did the Washington huddle here last week, and they're like, so you got the Chargers at the Raiders, some injuries. What do we need to talk about? I said, wrapping Christmas presents and if you have any decorations left. Like, jokes aside, we do get Joshua Palmer back. Josh Jacobs isn't playing. It's a short week. How far down the list? Like, you see my ranks because you pull them up every single week to talk about them.
Yep.
But
yep.
How far down the list would you go to go to Zamir White? Is Zamir White too high, too low? Is that about the same cutoff that you would have for Zamir White? Because Zamir White, for everybody out there that hasn't seen the rankings yet or doesn't know, I'm at 30. And that's with no Josh Jacobs. So
yeah. I think I have him a touch lower. Just like maybe, I think it's fine in terms of touches. Like, he's probably going to touch the ball more than Aaron Jones, Jerick McKinnon, Keaton Mitchell.
Great matchup.
Jalen Warren. And it is a good matchup. Is it all him? Is it a little bit of Amir Abdullah? Do they score 0 points again? Like, all those things come into play here. It's really tough, man, for me personally to think about starting him in, I guess, if you're a Jacobs owner, but in a season-long league or in your first week of fantasy football playoffs, starting him, a lot of those guys that are kind of bubble guys that you have ahead of him, I would play ahead of him, like, say, Deontay Foreman.
Well, I think you get to
probably both Steelers backs, at least Najee for sure.
Warren, so I brought this up in the – we can talk about this real quick since you brought him up. But in the game preview section, since Canada was fired, Warren's use hasn't changed. And actually, because he hasn't scored a touchdown, he's got, what, 5, 6, and 6 points? The use is exactly the same. It wasn't a Canada problem. It's just that's what they want to do. So I get it. And that's the thing is that's where I have him. I have him basically the way I cut it off is if you look at it, there's some timeshare running backs in front of him already, but he's the lowest. If you look, he's the lowest of the what should be a clear lead options. He's behind Deonta Foreman, who I still like. This is coming from somebody that liked him last week, and I got that right. We talked about it on Serious Eight. I'm not coming for you because I said I still would not start Deonta Foreman. I mean, I wasn't expecting to get 70% of the work, but I sat here and said, like, why are they going to go away from him? But still, against Cleveland, I'm Deonta Foreman, then Zamir. And then we're talking about Aaron Jones probably coming back from an injury. Do I really want to start him? Like,
no.
I think those are the conversations you could have. Jerick McKinnon, I could see, but Jerick McKinnon against New England, are they really going to have to pass as much as they did last week? Like, that's the problem is that I think what you said is right. Like, I think we're assuming that Abdul is going to be involved. But that being said, what do you think? 14, 15? My projections aren't done because that's tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
14, 15 touches? And it really comes down to, do you want that floor versus some of the upside ceiling guys behind him?
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing with McKinnon, what we talked about on the Sirius show and even on this show last week was, actually, I think it was just on the Sirius show because that Pacheco injury came down late last week, was McKinnon probably more suited for a touchdown, which we did see, but he only touched the ball 7 times and he had under 40 yards, right? And it was CEH who had more touches. And we said that CEH is probably going to have more touches. But the guy that's most likely to score is Jerick McKinnon. And for Zamir White here, I would say that he does have 14, 15 plus carries in this game. And like you said, it is a good matchup. You're going up against a Chargers team that's going to their, you know, their second, third string quarterback here. And they haven't been able to score any points lately with Justin Herbert. So, like, how great is this offense going to be? Like, we just saw a 3-0 game against the Vikings and the Raiders, and we may just see another 3-0 game this week with another Raiders game. So it is, I think it's pretty risky. I think it's pretty risky to roll this guy out. I think, again, where you have him is fair. You want to take the ceiling with McKinnon and Mitchell and hope these guys find the end zone. For whatever reason, if Brian Robinson Jr. can't play, like Antonio Gibson would move up the chart. The biggest thing that surprised me last week, actually, with some of the touches was Singletary. Singletary versus Pierce. I thought that they were just going to go back to, like, Pierce had a ton more carries than him the week before. He hardly touched the field last week in a game where they couldn't really move the ball and they were kind of in it in the first half. You can run on the Jets. They didn't even bother. This is like another scenario where I guess Zamir White over both of those Texans backs at the moment.
Well, so that's why, I mean, the Texas situation, I'm not touching that. You somehow made it to the playoffs with either of them on your roster. Congratulations. Yeah, rocking my Texans hat. Probably one of them gets hurt this week because there's two hells we can ruin. The thing is what it comes down to with that is that would you be shocked? Like, if I told you today, hey, Chris Meany, Damian Pierce got 14 carries, Singletary got 3 and 2 receptions. You'd be like, checks out. So there's no way I'm touching those. I think, again, we go back to, I think Dowdle's interesting. We'll get to him in a minute. We'll get to him actually in a little bit here. So, but let's move on from the Joshua Palmer, wide receiver 4, Easton Stick. That was exciting. And then Easton Stick is at quarterback, unfortunately. So Keenan Allen, although I think Joshua Palmer could get a little bit of a bump just for volume because Keenan Allen all of a sudden dinged up. And I mean, we'll find out likely today because their game is tomorrow. But if he sits, because there's nothing to play for, I did want to throw that out there. Are you concerned if you're Austin Eckler and somehow made the playoffs?
Yes. Yes.
Or if you have someone telling you, have
Austin. Yes. I think we've been talking about this for the past couple weeks, right? Eckler's not 100%. Staley's got one foot out the door. Now Herbert's done for the season. The Chargers are eliminated. They're not officially eliminated, but they're done. And yeah, Eckler's going to look for that contract. I was worried about a couple backs this year, and Josh Jacobs was another one. I just didn't think that with everything that happened.
Joe Mixon was one until Jake Browning started winning games.
And the Bengals are right there, right? Another win this week, and they're looking pretty decent, actually. So I was just concerned with some of these running backs. You know, Saquon got a little bit of money, but that circle of backs that, you know, they were looking for a little bit more cash, they didn't get it. How, you know, would they play through some of these injuries that they have? And that's what you talk about Jacobs. Like, is he going to power through this? No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't power through this. He led the NFL in rushing yards last year, and they didn't pay him. So it's possible, very, very possible. If you made the playoffs with Eckler, I mean, I did in one, but it's a dynasty league, so it's so different. You could, I would say there's a good chunk of people that have struggled this year to pile up wins with Austin Eckler as their starting running back in fantasy football, especially if you took him, you know, you took him in the first and maybe one of the wide receivers or whatever. But
so
it's a real possibility you won't be with him. You won't have him next week.
Maybe next week. Yeah. So moving on to the next game. So let's talk about some of the Saturday games. Here's it. Don't look, Meanie. Do you want to know? Have you ever seen the rain? Have you ever seen? Who do you think, since week 9, because for everybody out there, the tables and the stats that I go through, same thing I go through the entire year. I usually do last 5 or 6 weeks, depending how many buys are circled in there, because it's better. It's more of a telling of how defenses have been of recent. In some of those, the APA table that I do at The Athletic is just the points allowed. Takes into account the entire season. Incorporate some DVOA stats from over at FTN. You can go check those out. That's actually in the calculation I created. Thank you to that for those. But point being, since week 9, the number one team in allowing the fewest drives to score a touchdown, what team do you think it is? It is not a team you would think of. Let me put it that way.
I think it's the first team that comes to mind is the Broncos, just because of how good they've been over the past couple weeks. No?
No. It's the Minnesota Vikings. Only 8.5% of drives against the Vikings have resulted in a touchdown since week 9. Now, granted, some of those are the teams they faced at the same time. But we've been talking about this defense, sneaky, decent the entire year, especially against the run. They continue to be good against the run no matter what. Do you have any concerns rolling out Jake Browning as your quarterback, if you need one? We can smile and laugh and joke, but the state of quarterback right now, Jake Browning's pushing QB1.
I think we both had him as a top territory. 15 quarterback last week. Yeah. I know I had him roughly as 15. This week, I think I have him at 13 or 12. There are some actually, I need you to maybe give me a reality check, because I have him at 15. I would play. Okay, so you got him over T-Law too. I also have him over Trevor Lawrence
against Baltimore on one ankle.
I have him over Trevor Lawrence. I have him over Kyler Murray against San Fran. And if there's no Tyreek Hill, I don't know about Tua.
If there's no Tyreek Hill, Tua's benchable
and
everywhere.
Jared Goff, and I know he's back home, but over the past couple weeks, this guy has been awful. He has turned the ball over consistently. They have one of the worst, you know, turnover differentials over the past 5 or 6 weeks. And the Broncos are right there. That's why I thought you were bringing them up for Denver. Their defense has been really good too. Since they allowed 70 points, like, forget it. It's night and day. The defense has taken shape. They've also been on the right side of a lot of turnovers in their favor. So I know it's semifinals here, and it's so tough to play a guy like,
well,
Browning
to your point,
over
here
Kyler,
you go.
Or I would, but I would. I have them ranked ahead. I have him ranked ahead of those.
I would go
He's
Kyler.
He's been
still
so good, man.
I'd still go Kyler. Kyler, for everybody out there, like, there has been some bad ones against the 49ers. These had some great games against the 49ers too. So I'm not, and also those are years past. I mean, obviously, if you said every single game against the 49ers has been great to this point, how much does that really mean against this 49ers? But anyway, to go to the Broncos real quick, in the table over the Athletic, opponent since week 9, opponent's points per game, 28th, as in 1, 2, 3, 5th. I was that extra number counted backwards. Yep. When you go. The fifth toughest. They're 27th in points per drive, 1.4, so sixth toughest. And then 24th, 15.5% touchdown drive percentage. So pretty tough. I mean, you're not wrong about that. Oh, this is a tough one for me because it's just, even if I made it, if I somehow made it here with Jared Goff, I'm assuming he was one of two quarterbacks. I'm assuming somebody wasn't only riding Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I don't know. You make your case if you want to go Browning over Goff. I'm just Goff back at home. It's only been two really bad weeks, and one of them was outdoors in Chicago. Like, also, what is this problem with Chicago? Like, that might just be a question.
Both of those games. In both of those games, he was awful. And I didn't think he was that great against the Packers either on Thanksgiving. But, yeah, the point is that Jake Browning is a guy that maybe, you know, if you could have picked him up and you weren't even considering starting him over the past couple weeks. Like, I went against him last week. He had 25 points in basically three quarters against me. I'm like, man, this guy may get 45 points. Like, he is just spreading the ball to everybody. He has the sneaky rushing floor there. Like, he ran one in.
What kind of scoring? Hold on. What kind of scoring do you have?
He had 25 points. I'm pretty sure he had 25 fantasy points.
He finished with 23 in normal. Like, I'm just thinking, like, you got bonuses or something?
Maybe I'm over-exaggerating by a touch, but it looked like he had 25.
I want to go back to real quick. Okay, for your point, he did score 23. That's two games in a row of over 20. Jared Goff, 16-16 against Green Bay and the Saints. 16 is not bad. 16 is probably QB 13 on an average week-ish. Chicago, 6.4. It's just Chicago doesn't do good. 11.7 at home against Chicago through three interceptions. By the way, Chicago just... They're interception machine too, but you know, you go back to it and you know, Chargers indoors 21.1 at again the Chicago game, the Las Vegas one, they didn't need them. I get your point. Baltimore outdoors, Tampa Bay 22, Carolina 27, and then outdoors Green Bay 11. What a shock. 18 Atlanta, 22.9 Seattle. So I guess I don't know. You could talk into it because
Detroit's going through something. I know that. That's all I know. Is there? I mean, look at Amon-Ra's last few games too.
Yeah, they're going through something. Well, let's bring that up because I got that question in my rankings. They said, would you consider moving it? Like they said, I see your rankings, but would you really? Would you move him down? And I thought I was being a little mean, honestly, because I had Amon-Ra St. Brown down at 8, like, which is probably lowest I've ranked him this year, for all intents and purposes. But do you think he should be behind Mike Evans? Brandon Ayuk, by the way, I've already got questions about why do you have Brandon Ayuk ahead of Debo Samuel? Have you not watched the last 2 weeks? No, I don't watch a single snap.
Ayuk had over 100 yards in his score last week too. I'm pretty sure.
I don't. And the thing I keep bringing this up, we've talked about this on the show. It's in the column as well. Is it was last week, so I referenced again in the comment that I'm talking about. Is that Ayuk and Debo both do great against zone, but when it comes against man, Ayuk destroys it. I mean, doubles the numbers of Debo. It's ridiculous for whatever reason. Well, guess what Arizona is? Man heavy. Top six.
They're both going to be
That's awesome. Really why. And we're talking about 10 and 13. You're starting both of them. Like, for everybody out there, just so you know, so I do my rankings, and then everybody, I do my rankings, I do my projections, and then I come back and balance the projections and rankings. Do you know how much time I spend on the top 10 or 12 players? Probably 5 minutes. Like, I go through them, if you want to nitpick and be like, somehow you ended up, like, if you want to ask, let's say, I'm not going to say you're stupid to ask me this question. Great squad. If you somehow ended up with Michael Pittman and Stephon Diggs and you made a trade and picked up Ayuk late and you got DJ Moore too because you're smart, okay, fine. I'll answer your question. But for 90% of people out there, if you're in the side of the top 15, you're starting them. Do you really want to nitpick between 7 and 10? So that's why.
It's just silly. They're both going to eat. Brock Purdy's going to throw 3 or 4 touchdowns again. Like, it's what he does every single week. I think the only guy, and it's just Justin Jefferson, and I suppose if you have him and he plays, you know, you want to play him, obviously, because of the upside. I have him a little bit lower. Yeah, I have him at, like, 13.
But that's my point. If you that's actually, if Justin Jefferson's at 6 because you're playing him.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, you're for sure. Like, there's no question.
Put it this way. Justin Jefferson healthy. They said he's healthy. Wednesday. Yeah. Let's throw a scenario out for you, Meany. Wednesday, full practice. Chest is not an issue at all. Full practice. We know it's Nick Mullins, which, again, whatever. People are like, oh, they have playoff aspirations, so they want to stick with Mullins. Really? That's we know he's better than Jaren Hall? Like, I don't get that. Like, just let Jaren Hall go out there. He looked pretty good. I know it was a super small sample.
Like two drives. They look good, though.
And people are like, well, they have playoff aspirations. Like, when does Nick Mullins guarantee you playoff aspirations? But I do want to say, like, I'm looking at this list. There is only one name inside the top 20? For real quick, like, I'm just going to rattle these off because people not watching or, like, looking at the column right now. So it's Hill, Lamb, Brown, Diggs, Cup, Jefferson, Pittman, St. Brown, Evans, Ayuk, Chase, Nakua, Debo, DK, DJ Moore, Olave, Garrett Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, and Keenan Allen. There is one name in there where if you had Justin Jefferson, you might have had this decision, because otherwise one of those guys are your number two wide receivers, and you don't have to worry, but you're starting him anyway. Unless you got this one person super late, as we recommended in the preseason, nobody expected this to happen. Not even us. Not even the biggest fan of Nakua. No. But this is where I'm going. The only name inside the top 20 where maybe he ended up being your wide receiver three, and you could make this decision because you were loaded at wide receiver. Maybe you played a two wide receiver league. If Justin Jefferson's 100% healthy, do you go Nakua or Jefferson? Because that's the only one in this conversation you could have. Otherwise, you're just starting Jefferson.
Yeah. I think I may go Nakua. I mean, Stafford really showed me something last week. And I don't think it's a super hot take. But Stafford, I mean, maybe my league's a little bit different because it was 25 for Browning. I think he got an extra couple points for something special that he did. I don't know. But Stafford's been 20-plus in three straight games. And I counted him out, man, against the Ravens. I knew that he was experienced enough to kind of handle the pressure in a hostile environment, but it's what Baltimore had done all year long.
Weather too.
The weather, man, we had a vintage Cooper Kupp game, which was nice to see. And we saw a great game from Stafford. And now they go from the worst possible matchup to the best possible matchup this week against Washington. Glorious. Yeah. Like most yards allowed, most passing yards allowed, fantasy points to quarterbacks, most points allowed. It's just like, check whatever box, just check them all. Because this is a fantastic matchup for everybody. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the only name inside the top 20 that you probably have that tough decision to make. And I get it. It's Justin Jefferson. Why would you ever sit Justin Jefferson? But let's be honest about this Vikings offense at the moment. Like, they're going to Nick Mullins here. So, anyways, you got him for the most part. You're starting him. But Nakua is you got a good one. And Nakua, he can ride you to a championship, hopefully, because the Rams are playing really good football at the moment.
Okay. I can see it. That's why I brought it up, because that's the only one that you can really talk about. Now, you can start having the conversation after, because now you're talking Zay Flowers, who, by the way, has been on fire the past 2 weeks since there's been no Mark Andrews. Did you know? It's only 2 weeks, but over the past 2 weeks, points per game, he'd be number two in the entire league, like on the season, only behind Tyreek Hill.
They're doing some end-around stuff with him, too. Like, yeah, just trying to find a way to get the ball in his hands because he's so explosive.
Cortland Sutton, all he does is score touchdowns. Jalen Waddle banged up. Do you know Jalen Waddle, to go back real quick, you brought up Tua before. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek both went off against the Jets previously, but Tua still didn't have a very good game because only threw one touchdown. So
right,
just throw that out there.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know what to say about Tyreek. Hopefully he's good for you guys that have Tyreek. He was good in that Jets matchup. He came in the game. I don't know how true this stuff is, but he said his wife told him, like, to get the hell back into the game. What are you doing? I don't know how. I can never take him seriously. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. He's such a jokester. But that's what they said on NFL Live, that his wife told him to get the hell back into the game, and he went back in. But when the game was on the line, he wasn't on the field. Like, he was on the field once, and they ran him in motion. I was like, hey, he looks pretty good running on that ankle. But for the most part, when they needed to score, when Tennessee came back, he wasn't on the field. So is he going to power through this game against the Jets? He might be limited, but at 50, if you told me he was going to play 50% of the snaps, I would still have him as a top five wide receiver.
Okay. I mean, 50, I'd say top 12.
I think it's seven.
Well, because again, that goes back to the Jefferson thing. Like, are you real? If you had 50% of snaps, would you really bench?
I would bench Jefferson on the other way because I think.
Okay. Would you go Jefferson full game or Tyreek Hill 50%?
I would go Tyreek 50%.
Seriously?
Hell yeah. Yeah, with two in the offense for sure.
I mean, there's no way we're going to know this ahead of time, but if you told me against the Bengals, even with Nick Mullins, 100% Justin Jefferson versus 50%, I'm talking about plays. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, I'm taking Jefferson. Right.
Because I know that he's, like, the 50% of the plays that he's on the field for, he's going to get targeted on, you know, 30% of them.
I okay, so 50% of 50, 25, even round up. Let's say they run 60, so you get 30, and he gets targeted.
It just takes nine targets for 100 yards.
I'm just saying, like, you just gave him nine targets. No. I was helping you. You just gave him nine targets. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah,
nine targets for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to come back to this Vikings thing because we skirted right past it. By the way, what was your Jake Browning versus Kyler Murray?
I'm going Jake over Kyler. Wow. Yeah.
Love the Jakes.
Yeah.
Hate the Drakes. Love the Jakes.
Yeah, back to back with a rushing touchdown. I don't know. It's a very small sample size of the completion percentage, but he looks confident. And I want to
give. Could you imagine if the Giants had Jake Browning?
Hey, you guys already got one. This DeVito story is phenomenal. I just kind of
hold on.
He's gonna he's gonna beat the Eagles.
Hold
in one of those
the
games.
Flipping phone. Hold on here. This story is terrific. The story is fun. It's amazing. Yeah. Paisano, Italiano. He did the whole thing sitting there talking about dishes. We got the hand and the family, and everything sounds great. It's a hell of a lot of fun. But let's pause. The player himself and the quarterback and the performance is not that good.
Like that throw to Hodgins in the corner.
We're celebrating somebody who hasn't thrown for 200 yards or for two touchdowns these past 2 weeks, but everybody's just like, wins. He looks great. He's fun. He runs. He's Daniel effing Jones. That's they just
pulling
be honest.
It off a little bit better, maybe. Yeah, he's probably Daniel Jones. In the some nice moments that Daniel Jones had, some nice 2-3 week stretches, it's probably very similar. Yeah.
The Packers in that game, don't ask me what the hell they were thinking with that defense when they were trying to get pressure with four so many times and not just send after it. And how many times did DeVito just sit there for 1 second and be like, oh look, I could run 10 yards up the middle? Like it's just And it broke the defense. This is the Daniel Jones offense. This is what works with Dable. Like Dable finally, like, he's getting stuff out of the offense that was designed to be able to be done with Daniel Jones. It's working because DeVito's similar, but he's not the savior. He's not Tom Brady.
No, he's not the savior. Man, on the Pat McAfee show, you could tell Rodgers was just frustrated. Pat's like, this is what we do in the NFL, in the media. This is what we do, you know. And Rodgers is like, guys, can we just wait? Like, till he plays five games before we start, like, talking about how he was a sixth round pick and all these other guys that came in and
gotta listen to the guy who wants no media attention on something.
Rodgers was at least right about that.
Who spends every damn week on the McAfee show talking about his life, that he wants to be left alone and his magical serums and trips and his coming back to football before people think he can. And stay out of the limelight, buddy. The media really needs to stop.
The Jets are alive. Maybe he's coming back next week. No chance.
Almost bet Aaron Rodgers' house has a giant lit up sign that says "Look away." Like, just
I would assume that he has like a big picture of himself over the fireplace of it, like of Rod, like just
yeah, and then underneath it says "Don't look at me."
Yeah.
Anyway, Alexander Mattison probably out. I mean, there's a chance it's early in this week, but Alexander Mattison plays. I think he's a risky RB2-3 in that situation. Absolutely. I would actually rank Chandler ahead of where I would put Madison, even though I would still only have Chandler, which I do, as a low-end RB2, just because haven't seen a lot, but the matchup does help, and the volume should help. I mean, how many touches are you really going to give Kenny and Ngwanu? Or, like, right. I don't know who else they might get involved.
And they can't run the ball anyways, man, with that offensive line, so it's not going to be great.
Okay. Moving on from that game to the end. Actually, this ties right in. Zach Moss, man. 2 weeks in a row, touchdown called back. And I jokingly sat on the show on Monday and I was like, man, I for years, Zach Moss. Oh, Zach Meany.
Start him
you have a son you don't know about, by the way. Heads up. Zach Moss is like, for years, like, he's just not that good. We did this with the Bills. And I'm like, he's not that good. He's not that good. Stop trying to make him happen. And then he happened this year for four straight weeks, including that fourth week with Jonathan Taylor back. And then this past 2 weeks, I'm like, man, 20 touches, even from a decent running back. You know, I'll rank him as an RB1 2 weeks in a row. Now, I say all that to say, Zach Moss is Zach Moss. The volume obviously helped. He looked better this year than he has the past 2 weeks. The touchdowns would have changed everything. If he scored both weeks, we'd be having a different conversation. Everybody would be ranking Zach Moss inside the top 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. Yeah. But we have two disappointing weeks, two called back touchdowns, and now he faces Pittsburgh. Middle of the road. Not a scary defense, but not a good matchup. Zach Moss, should he be an RB1 because of what essentially, again, you could play the it's been a disappointment 2 weeks, or you could play we'd be having a different conversation if he just scored, even in either one of those games. So where are you on Zach Moss this week?
I have him outside my top 12. Even like last 20? No, I have him inside my top 20. I think I got him at 18 here, just taking a look.
Why do you hate him? I have him 15.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I dislike him because the efficiency certainly isn't there. The touches, it's nice to see the touches, and he's going to get the goal line work. I'm really encouraged to see the 8 targets last week. Like, that's something that kind of balances out a little bit, the fact that he's not super efficient. So he's got the 13 targets. I mean, he's only caught 6 of those 13 targets. Like, Minshew, man, he chucks the ball. It's like Downs gets 8-12 targets, and he catches 3 balls. Like, Minshew's just... he's wild. Just keep throwing to Michael Pittman, dude. Just like lean on Michael Pittman, give him 20 targets. But I actually have Montgomery ahead of him.
We knew Minshew was sporadic.
He's just crazy. He's just wild. Another cool story, I guess, in the NFL. But
I have Montgomery ahead of him.
But yeah, I think if we're projecting touches, Moss will get more, but I feel like even against the Broncos, there's slightly a higher ceiling here for Dave Montgomery. If I had the choice between the two, I probably would just roll with Dave Montgomery. But you're right. If Moss scores touchdowns in each of those past 2 weeks, maybe if just one of them, we're thinking about him a little bit differently. But I would play him probably over the way that the Eagles are running the football, or lack thereof. I would play him over DeAndre Swift. Like, he's moved ahead of a couple guys that
Moss and Montgomery.
Yeah.
I mean, I have DeAndre Swift at 20.
I mean, I think I even have Chuba Hubbard ahead of DeAndre Swift at this point, which is just weird.
All right, well, hold on. Let's get to all of them. So the reason I brought up the Zach Moss thing is 88% of the running back touches, too, without Jonathan Taylor. Josh Jacobs would be second. He leads the league in the games without Jonathan Taylor, and second is Josh Jacobs at 85.2, to give you an idea. And Josh Jacobs has been the bell cow of bell cow of bell cows.
Yeah.
Would you touch Deontay Johnson in your first week of your championship game?
No, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to play any Steeler if I could avoid them.
Even Najee Harris, your boy?
He's not my boy, but I mean, I certainly like him over Jalen Warren.
He has been good.
I think where you have him is I would maybe, again, put him ahead of Swift.
You know who Najee Harris basically is these past 2 years? We started this show with baseball. He's Adam LaRoche, dude. Remember Adam LaRoche?
Yeah, and the fact Adam LaRoche.
Just don't even ignore the dude until the All-Star break. And then, boom, bananas down the stretch. Like, that's new Najee Harris.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, a couple weeks ago, he had more runs than any running back of 15 plus yards. And it's like, is that true? Is that a made up stat? It's like, I had to keep refreshing the page to see if it would go back the other way and glitch out. But he has been getting more work than Jalen Warren, and he's been getting all the goal line work. We went over that. You know what? Mixon, even though the tough spot, like Mixon, he's been getting some catches out of the backfield too. So I think where you have him is fair. I almost considered Mixon over Travis Etienne against Baltimore, but there's probably a higher ceiling there with ETN. The guys that I'm sour on this week is I'm sour on Swift. I'm sour on Swift. The Minnesota backfield, the Washington backfield, Seattle backfield. Like, I'm sour on some of those backfields. They just haven't been good, and consistency isn't there.
This is why you brought it up first, Joe Mixon. Do you know the last time a running back hit double digits against them? The Vikings?
Against the Vikings? Oh, my goodness. I think it's probably like week 5 or 6. It's been a minute.
Seven, Christian McCaffrey. And then before him, Isaiah Pacheco in week 5. DeAndre Swift in week 2. End of list. Those are the only 3 running backs to score double digits against them. They've given up 4 rushing touchdowns. Swift, Pacheco, Algier, and McCaffrey. And Algier didn't even get double digits.
Yeah.
That's it.
And and Mixon's not efficient anyways running the ball. I've just noticed that I think the receiving work has really helped out, you know, his couple
that's
of
a big one.
Past couple
by the way, do you know the only team off the top of your head? You might know this because you're deep into the stats and FTN's got great tools for that and everything like that. But do you know on the only team that is still yet to give up a rushing touchdown? There's a team that still has not given up a rushing touchdown this entire flipping season, which is just shocking to me.
Like to a running back, you mean? I think everyone's given one.
To a running back. No. Ravens are giving up three to running backs. They're second. They're the second fewest at three. And then the Vikings and Eagles are at four.
The Browns?
Nope. I'll give you one more guess. You got to go further south and to the east.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Who plays ball control?
Not the Falcons.
Yes. The Falcons haven't given up a single rushing touchdown this season.
Impressive.
They have two rushing performances over 100 yards, Henry for 101 and Rashad White just last week for 102, but not a single running back rushing touchdown on the season for the Falcons.
They've given up a couple of those. It's been quarterbacks, I guess, or maybe some end around stuff. Weird.
Been to other players.
Their defense has been okay, man. Like, it really has.
For receiving to running backs, maybe that's what you're thinking about, but not a rushing.
All right, cool. The defense has been okay.
Cool.
Falcons, cool. I was just like looking at some of the DBO statistics. I'm just like, wow, they've come into the bottom 10, you know, in a lot of offensive categories. But the defense has been fine. They've been all right, man. It's so weird. We're hitting into week 15 and there's only two teams eliminated. Seems like there's six teams in the NFC at 6-7. There's like six teams at 7-6. I don't remember a season like this. It's completely wide open all over the place. But the Falcons just could score some points, man, and they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah. All right. Let's get through these running backs, and because we spent so much time on like certain scenarios that it's kind of taken up a lot.
About Zeke.
What about him?
I don't know. Where you got him?
The fact that he's top 10? Tell me why he shouldn't be. How about that? I'm going to turn it on you. Why shouldn't he be?
No, that's good. That's good. I couldn't see him. No, it's fair.
Because he was too high up?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe he'd be in the teens.
In his two games without Ramondre Stevenson, fifth in running back touch percentage, first in team target percentage.
League one.
Ahead of Kamara and Barkley without Ramondre Stevenson. He's a bell cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's fine. Yeah. The only problem is like the Kansas City. Oh, but what? Oh, he gets all the passes anyway.
He gets them all. Take prop world people take a look at it. It was 2.5 catches and I think 13.5 receiving yards for Zeke last week. So you won't get
go Zeke or Moss.
Again.
I'm going Zeke.
I would go Zeke. Yeah, I would go Zeke. I think the only guy again. Mostert just finds ways to score, man. Like, and I know it sounds so dumb to say it and maybe even to hear it, but he really does. And that's the only guy that I think I would play ahead of him. That's it. Yeah, all those guys that you have, like Zeke is a top 10 running back.
No, because I have Mostert one spot behind him. You would play. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So you're.
I was just
front
saying.
Him?
I was just.
I know.
Just
I mean,
one guy.
Last couple games, he finished Mostert 4th, 16th, 5th, 22nd, 13th, 19th. You're just playing Mostert. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
But this was like saying this kind of goes back to the wide receiver thing. Like somebody last week, oh, you have Mostert at 14. I'm like, and. Like, do you want to nitpick 11 versus 14?
It's basically
versus
an RB1,
like,
yeah.
Like, just play them. Like, again, if you have specifics and you're like, somehow you're loaded, please ask us. I'm not saying don't. I'm just like, when people just throw out, I can't believe you have blanket 17. I'm like, okay. What's the point? Like, you know, I need information. But I can't believe you have blanket 19. Okay, let's have that conversation. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mostert's teammate. Devon Achane. Too low? Too overreactionary? I think this is just basically boom bust. I have him in front of Swift. I have him in front of Najee Harris. In front of Breece Hall. Breece Hall is essentially a pass catcher only now.
He's just catching passes. I know. He's unstartable in an old school standard league. You can't really. I think it's fine. And again, we'll wait here on Tyreek Hill. Mike McDaniel is pretty optimistic that he is going to play. If he doesn't play, I could see Miami just running the ball a lot in that game with both of these guys, and maybe I would move him up a tick or two. But I think it's certainly fine where you have him. The ceiling is still there. He's a low on RB2. We all know that he has upside to be an RB1, but what we saw last week, it's still Mostert, man. Like, Mostert is still the lead there. He's the guy that they trust. With the game that was on the line, they gave him those two goal line touches.
Can I bring up one thing, though, real quickly?
Yeah.
How about the fact that it's week 15, we're going to the playoffs, and somebody, if you want to start three running backs, with inside the top 20, could be starting Ezekiel Elliott, Zach Moss, and Achan. Like,
zero RB.
No, don't stop with that.
It's a conversation for another day, but there's not random wide receivers inside the top 20, I'll tell you that.
Christian McCaffrey. Oh, Puka Nacua is not random?
One. Come on.
Okay. I'm just saying. You said there's not.
Not really. There's one. But look at Kyren Williams, Rashad White, Zeke. Mostert was drafted as like RB 45. Oh my god.
Yeah, but relative. Okay, but if we want to talk about that, we're sidebarring hard. But if we're relative to where they were drafted at their position, I mean, Ayuk and Debo were in like the 2-3s conversation. Pittman was low twos.
Yeah, Pittman's a good one. Even Ayuk is
Mike
a good
Evans.
One.
People, nobody was too, Mike Evans was a wide receiver three, maybe even four in some places. So I'm just saying, like, it's relative to the position too.
Sure.
To get through a couple more of these, and I did see something, and I do have to get angry here in a second, but we'll pause on that first. Oh, no, this is – I'm trying to scan, but there's some of these questions are 8 miles long. But I did see something about – I saw my name pop up, and I see what it's in reference to, so we'll talk about it in a second. But anyway, if there's no Brian Robinson – Brian Robinson, I have him in because if he's playing, I want people to know where he is. I have him at 25 because of the risk against the Rams. You just mentioned it. They get steamrolled early. All of a sudden, it's Antonio Gibson's show, who I do have inside the top 36 because he's been there. He's been a strong RB3. Antonio Gibson, if there is no Brian Robinson, we know that Chris Rodriguez would get involved. Would you go Antonio Gibson or Ty Chandler? Antonio Gibson or Najee Harris? Like, how far? Because I feel like there's a limit to Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I think so, too. I would move him up ahead of I would probably go Najee over him, but I would consider Antonio Gibson over Ty Chandler. In that situation, I think there could be more garbage time stuff there. I mean, both of those guys could get a lot of checkdowns and a lot of catches, actually. But I don't think either of them would be too efficient running the rock. But I would have them over Ford against the Bears. I would have them over James Conner, Zamir White, Aaron Jones, McKinnon.
Bears move them up. Stuff the run.
Yeah, defense has been playing really, not even just the run, like their pass defense. Maybe it's just maybe Goff is helping those numbers out.
Their defense has been top 10 since like week 5.
Yeah, maybe we give Goff a pass and we just give the credit to the Bears in those two games. I don't know. Still think
I'm still like it. I think I'm gonna let the projections decide for me, but I think you might have talked me into at least debating between the Browning Goff situation. By the way, we talked about at the beginning of the show. Before we get to wide receivers, the thing I noticed and talked about is somebody mentioned that in their league someone dropped Zeke. And
I did see that,
they're not in the playoffs. So, first, you don't play with this person ever again.
If I was a commissioner, I would take him and put him back on the roster.
That's second. So ban him. You never play with him again. Disgrace. You know, there should be an island somewhere. Misfit Toys, I don't know. Send these people because you are the bane of fantasy football. You are right up there with not starting your entire roster and watching teams get free wins while you're fighting for playoff spots because you're too lazy and don't give a damn. You're the same as the people who, you know, collude to trade. Like, you're terrible. You're a terrible human being. Don't do this. So anyway, I'm with you. If I'm the commissioner, Zeke goes back on the roster, that roster is locked. I mean, locked as in they can't even drop people. Because here's what we talked about last week. We kind of briefly, but I tweeted more about it. Once the playoffs start, and once you're eliminated from the playoffs, waivers aren't for you. They're not for you, unless they're keeper and dynasty. If you want to wait till the second run, go for it. If you have a league where, like, sleeper lets you do this, where fab runs, and then it's first come first, like, it's just everything's out there, sure, you just don't do the fab part. If you still want to because you want to be competitive, like, at the end of the year, you were knocked out of flex like 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not coming for you. I'm just saying, like, I still don't want you to go away and not pay attention and potentially keep my opponent from the playoffs while I'm still fighting because I'm fighting a team that cares, and you're just going, oh, I got zeros in my lineup. I still want you to set a full lineup. You still need to make waivers. But now you're in the now the playoffs have started. You don't make a waiver. Period. You're done. Right. You're done. 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 At the same time, you shouldn't be dropping people. Period. You're basically your roster is locked and done. It's gone. Yeah. So anyway, hate that. There's one of the few things. So would never play with people like that. And like you said, if you can, the commissioner put it back. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't be out there on waivers. Anyway, that's that. That was the frustrating part. Like it just why do people got to ruin things?
I don't know. I don't know why people are the way that they are.
I had somebody that I thought was a friend in my home league that didn't like a trade that went down at the trade deadline, as in so we still had multiple weeks before the playoffs even started. Trade deadline week, and it's a keeper league, and he was upset because somebody offloaded some talent for keeper talent, and it was unbalanced in his opinion, which it was straight up for 1 year, it was unbalanced. It was a keeper for – it's what we do in keepers. That's the point of the thing. Dropped his entire roster to waivers. And then when I confronted him about it, it was like, well, I didn't like it. And I was like, what about last year when you made the same kind of deal? I didn't care because I was the one involved last year. Like,
people like that just shouldn't bother playing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. Don't be that person.
If I could sick Barkley to, like, tear his calf off his leg No, Barkley would never do it though. She would just start trying to lick your face.
Yeah, just but, lick your face off.
I just thought of the calf situation because of Nico Collins. Yeah, see, I was pulling it all around right there. I'm assuming he's out. If CJ Stroud plays, is Noah Brown top 30, 20 on volume? Like, this is somebody who was top 5 2 weeks in a row. If CJ Stroud is out there, where does Noah Brown go?
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be a wide receiver 3. Just based on pure volume alone, like, who is CJ Stroud going to throw the football to? Like, Singletary, Brevin Jordan, Noah Brown? Like, this is not great, actually, for CJ Stroud. In fact, I would be looking for another option at the quarterback position, like Browning, if I was a CJ Stroud owner. I don't know. Based on pure volume alone, he's a wide receiver 3.
If you knew Stroud was playing, you would go Browning over Stroud still? I don't have a problem with that one. I'm just asking you. Yeah. Okay. Would you go Odell Beckham or Noah Brown?
Man, really like what Odell Beckham Jr. is doing over the past couple
weeks. Yeah, but he's basically...
I would lean with Brown, I think, there, based on volume.
I was going to say, because Odell Beckham's essentially 90% Cortland Sutton. He's scoring.
He's running more routes, playing more snaps, getting more targets. But yeah, I would have to play Brown there.
Okay.
League winner, Bobby Trees.
Let's go to your Eagles real quick. Devonta Smith. I'm at 25. I'm going to ask you, because I know you're like, he should have been higher last week. Almost on point last week because the volume was a little bit better than expected with Goddard's first game back. Production wasn't. Part of the matchup. We do have to talk about the Cowboys here in a second too. But the Seahawks pass defense continues to be something that's been pretty good this year. And it was Goddard's first game back. So I do have a concern that Goddard sees a little bit more of an uptick. It's a passing game. How do you beat the Seahawks in the run game? And if anybody's going to do anything in the passing game, it's A.J. Brown. But is that too low? Because right in front of him, like, Rashee Rice, top 24. He's finally there. Waddle, Sutton, Flowers, Allen, if he plays. Adams, Hopkins. Like, I'm looking, I'm like, if it's my roster, I don't know who I would even bench for Devonta Smith. And honestly, looking right behind him, I think Jaden Reed against the Bucs is in play. I have Smith in front of him, but Terry McLaurin against the Rams, if that starts to be a shootout early, and that's probably where I stop, but like, I can't even move him a spot or two down. This is your boy, your team. You argued I should have had him a little bit higher last week. Is that too low?
I have him a touch higher. I think the matchup is actually fantastic. I mean, Seattle's top 5 in yards allowed, top 10 in passing yards allowed, quarterback completion percentage against top 10, like fantasy points wide receivers is great. You're right. I mean, if it's going to be one of the two, it's AJ. But the volume is still there. Even, you know, I get it with the Goddard thing missing some time, but this is like no 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position have a higher target share than these two guys. And I'd like to, again, I've been saying it for the past couple weeks, run the football, but they're not doing it. They're not running the football here. Like, DeAndre Swift had three carries in the second half of that game against the Cowboys, and it was still a two-score game. It was a mm-hmm. game where they could have, you know, ran the ball in the second half and got back into it. I still think he's good for probably another five or six grabs and 70 to 80 yards, and that does put him in that wide receiver two conversation. There's not, looking at your rankings here, I don't know, like, is it too cute? Like, Hopkins had a great game last week, right? He got a lot of targets from Will Levis. Like, he's the one there, so that makes sense. You probably don't want to sit Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen, but those situations are obviously very, very poor, but the ceiling is high. Those guys are clear-cut number ones there. You would expect Easton, like, he should lean on Keenan Allen there in that situation. I think it's fine. He's a wide receiver, too. Rashee Rice is – it's been – I know it's Belichick and – the Patriots, but this guy's been awesome.
I can see the argument for Devontae Adams. It's Devontae versus Devontae. But what I go back to, I know you brought up the numbers, but I was the other way too. Like, this isn't, so let me come back, because Debo and Ayuk are kind of inflating just of what happened last week. I mean, they had almost 300 yards combined. And then CeeDee Lamb the week before that, a buck 16. They limited the 49ers the first time around, 79 and 50. So looking at that, they limited the entire Rams with Nacua at 70. Then they limited Washington, held them down to nobody had more than 41, and that was Dyami Brown. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, limited, pass. You kind of like, Amari Cooper held to 89. Arizona, pass, whatever, you know, that situation. They nobody topped 80, and that was Jamar Chase with the Bengals. So we're just saying, they're not, the last 2 weeks kind of inflated them back into the, they look like they're bad, but they're middle of the pack, and they do a good job of holding in check, would be the better way to put it. That's what I was saying. It's the run game. So it was kind of setting you up. You answered the question anyway, but do they finally, what the Eagles were saying they were going to do last week, is get back to the run, which didn't happen because, man, they don't get back to the run. That's not what they do.
I don't get it, man. I don't understand it. They need to run the football.
And then they refuse to. So Chris Godwin, I have at 36. I think that I put him as an intriguing sleeper for this reason. Let me go back.
I agree.
You like that? Because I'm going to the Buccaneers.
A ton of targets again last week. I mean, he's got like 100 targets. He's only caught half of them. And he's got he's got two touchdowns. I guess one was a rushing.
I'm trying to find the Buccaneers stat that I pulled on Chris Godwin. Oh, he's the only wideout in the entire NFL with one touchdown and at least 51 receptions or 541 yards.
Wild, man. And I've seen him a couple times get stopped around the one or the five. It's not like this guy's not getting volume or looks. Like, that's the thing that's encouraging. He's not phased out of this offense. And when Mike Evans had a quiet game, you would expect last week it to be a Godwin game. He did get a lot of targets, but, you know, I don't know how many ceiling games we've had from him. One, he's just been a flex play really all year, and it's been a frustrating play for you. But I like, we have Curtis Samuel. Like, Samuel, I don't want to ignore what he's done. I see something in this Terry McLaurin, a solid start. Like, I don't think he's a solid start. I think he's okay, but like, well, Curtis Samuel, I could see is a decent little PPR flex play for you again this week. No,
I thought there was more.
That's it. I just think Curtis Samuel is a decent little flex play. That's it. Okay. I think he's probably the number one option in Washington.
A few more before we get out of here. So are you buying into Wandale Robinson?
I am not.
No. Okay. That's good, because, you know, the Saints have allowed one wide receiver, even with the loss of Lattimore. They've only allowed one wide receiver this entire year with 100 receiving yards. You want to know why we pivoted from what we just talked about? Because it was Chris Godwin in week four. Also, one receiving touchdown since week eight. Amon-Ra St. Brown on 49 yards in week 13. I'm not messing around with Wandale Robinson in the first round of my playoff games. Not doing it. Let's see what else we can hit before we get out of here. And I'm looking to see if we have any questions. Would you start Michael Wilson in his first game back if he's back in your playoffs against the 49ers? No, don't do it, please. But
I don't even want to start like Jordan Addison or Palmer or Elijah Moore or any of those guys that you have in the 40s. Like, I don't even really want to start those guys. So I don't want to start those guys. I'm not
taking the
risk. I get it, but I'm not taking the risk on like a Michael Wilson or anything like that.
No. Would you start DeMario in his first game back if he's playing? I just want to say his name.
Yeah, I know you do. No, I would try to avoid it if I could. I'm trying to see some guys that are behind him. I'd play JSN over him. I'd even play Gabe Davis and just get the zero or the 20.
Why'd you skip 48? Let's talk 48. Why'd you skip him?
I would maybe play Parker Washington.
Parker Washington, here's why. He's third.
That.
He's third in routes. But it's one of those three wide, similar to Houston earlier this year, where it's not that far behind. Tyler Boyd type of situation, it's not that far behind the lead, too. But what do you know about the Ravens? We just saw it last week. What do we know about the Ravens? They're much like your Eagles. What do we know about both these teams? Where do you attack them?
Yeah, in the middle of the field.
Middle of the field, intermediate, get open quick, slot. What does Parker Washington do? He fills the Christian Kirk role. What does Zay Jones do? He goes downfield and doesn't ever get open against the Ravens. Now, of course, you know, Zay Jones could hit one big play for 35 yards and a touchdown, and this will look stupid. But I would actually go Parker Washington over Zay Jones, because Trevor Lawrence on a bum ankle against the Ravens, you think he's really going to spend much time in the pocket waiting for things to develop?
Mm-mm.
No. So I'm just bringing him up as a sleeper. Yeah. If you're desperate, because a lot of people have injury situations where, like, I think he's an intriguing sleeper that people could potentially find. Greg Dortch, maybe. Again, that depends on whether or not Michael Wilson's healthy. DeMarcus Robinson, you play in that game? I'm not.
No. No, okay. I mean, the matchup is great, but I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah. All right. Oof. Tight ends? Anything interesting out there? Dalton Schultz, Darren Waller, just put them in your lineups if they come back?
Yeah, definitely Dalton Schultz, right? He's a guy that's probably hanging around the waiver wire because of the past couple weeks he hasn't played and then all the injuries. I don't know about Darren Waller. Like, I would play
Kmet. I mean, I'm a 12. Oh, you play Kmet?
I would play Kmet.
Don't say Pitts. Don't say Pitts.
No, I'm not saying Pitts. Okay. I would play Kmet.
Oh, well, that's the last one I was going to bring up.
Goddard.
I would play Kincaid against Dallas, because we have promised to get out of here on this. Josh Allen against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs is against the Cowboys. Gabe Davis, still waiting for those points last week. Gabe Davis. He's still, I don't think he's even showed up at the box score.
Or 20. That's it.
And then Dalton Kincaid, who I have at 15, because here's the one, and I'm just going to bring it up. Let me go back to it because I want to get the number exactly right for what I talked about. But Bills ran 51.4% of the time three wide through week 7. It was sixth lowest in the league. Weeks 8 through 13, 79.9% of that time, third highest. Last week, 46.6, sixth lowest. What does that coincide with? Dawson Knox being healthy. Dawson Knox on the field through week 7, 50% of the time, essentially, 8 through 13. When he was out, 80% of the time, they're three wide, and then back to 50% underneath. I have Kincaid at 15. The targets, there were still some opportunities. He could have probably had a better day, but not 100% against the Cowboys. Dawson Knox on the field, too. That's why I have him at 15. I could see it. I think he definitely has a higher ceiling, but that's why I would play a returning Darren Waller in front of him, because that's still this offense, is that short to intermediate game with Darren Waller. I could see the argument, but I think I would go Waller over Kincaid just because of it. Now, Kincaid practices in full on Friday, and you might get me to change my tune.
Yeah, it's just, I get what you're saying. It's still 8 targets, you know, a game that could really shoot out. And fun story with the Giants lately, but ultimately this is a team that probably gets maxed out at around 14 points. I just think it's super risky.
And 200 passing yards.
Waller comes back and, you know, suffers a setback immediately. And it's like, man, you already played this game with Waller. You got enough zeros. Let's not go down.
That's certainly fair. What is also fair is I know we didn't talk about everything. So at Chris Meany, at All In Kid, you can go to FTN, code All In, get you 20% off so you can check out everything at FTN, including bets, props, and all the good stuff in hockey. Maybe somebody can explain why Igor looks like Shitsterkin again, and we should just be playing Jonathan Quick. Just put Quick in goal. Although you'd probably get worn out, and then he would start to be crap again too. So, but holy crap.
Ride it out.
Igor's last, 7-8 games?
I don't know. One of my buddies is a Rangers fan too, and he said that Igor needs a little bit of a break. He was surprised that they didn't go Quick last
night. A little bit. He's given up like 4 goals against on average over the last couple of games. It's like 6 or 7 games.
Still first in the division, which is remarkable.
It is, because they can score, but until you lose 7-3. But anyway, sorry. Yeah. So I rant on that. And then over there at the Athletic, there's still codes, or not codes, but there's still discounts. If you click on the waivers, ranks, anything over there, check out all the fun charts and stuff. And we'll be back next week, Wednesday, full show, because there's not a whole lot of waivers at this point unless they're getting to your lineup. So Lauren, Meany, myself, Wednesday, same time, 11 a.m., but no Monday shows for the rest of the year or for the rest of a while. I don't know. At some point, we'll be back.
Definitely not 2023, right?
True. Check us out on SiriusXM. I'm just waiting for Fox to cut me off at this point. I'm not going to say bye. I'm just going to see when he ends the clip.
Shut up.
So no, I just do it, Fox. At some point, just...